You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
George Takei's acting career spanned more than five decades, from his early days at the helm of the Starship Enterprise to his current portrayal of a Japanese internee during World War II.
Japanese-American.
We weren't imprisoned by the Japanese. It was the U.S. government.
But in recent years, he has not been content to rest on his laurels. In a new documentary from director Jennifer Crute called To Be Takei, we see the many facets of George Takei, from actor to activist, husband to internet phenomenon. It opens at the AMC Lowe's Village 7 and on all video-on-demand platforms a week from this Friday. That's August 22nd. And I'm very pleased that it brings George Takei and Jennifer Crute to our show today. Hello.
Good to be here with you.
George, go ahead, Jennifer.
Great to be here. Thank you.
George, this film reveals a lot about your childhood, family, marriage, career. Was it at all uncomfortable to give Jennifer that kind of access?
Well, we were introduced to Jennifer, who wanted to do a documentary on us, and so we wanted to vet her. We met with her many, many times, had a few meals together to see where she's coming from, and we found that we share a lot of values in common, and we got to trusting her completely. So we didn't want a vanity project. We gave her carte blanche.
You speak often about the 4 years you spent in internment camps during World War II. How much do you remember from that time?
Well, I was a child then, so my memory is that of a child, from 5 years old to almost nine before we were released. And I do have my memories, but my understanding of that was, you know, as an innocent child, we went to school every day in a black tar paper barrack, and we began the school day with the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag.
You thought that everything you were going through was just normal.
It was. Well, children are amazingly adaptable, and we adapted to life confined behind barbed wires.
Do you find it ironic that one of the internment camps, the one located at Lone Pine, is near the Alabama Hills where many Westerns were shot? You worked with John Wayne, who used to shoot movies there.
Yes,
but
we weren't in that camp. Mm-hmm. We were sent to the swamps of Arkansas. John Wayne used to film in that area, as well as Arizona, where we have a cabin up in the White Mountains. But when I was interviewed for the Green Berets by John Wayne, I was active in the peace movement of the Vietnam War. And I felt that it was important for me to be candid. And so I was very forthright with him. I told him I am an activist and I've been working for peace in Vietnam. And I know that we are not sharing the same side on that issue. And he said, we live in a democracy and I believe in free speech. I exercise mine and you have a right to exercise yours. But for my film, I want the best actor I can get. And I was very impressed by that. But I walked out feeling I didn't have the role because of...
But you did get it.
But I did get it. And I have great respect for his fidelity to our form of government.
Jennifer, you include a significant amount of archival footage from the internment camps. Was a lot shot there?
There isn't a lot that was shot there. It's some 8mm family films, and they weren't supposed to be bringing cameras, so those I don't think were done, you know, with with government approval or anything. So it's some personal 8mm you know, home footage of people trying to live their lives. And then there's a number of government propaganda films where to make it look not too bad, where, you know, everybody has their hair done and they're dressed perfectly and smiling. So there isn't a lot, but it's very interesting, you know, to see what there is.
However, we did go back to the Arkansas camp where my family was incarcerated. And this was in 2000. What was it, 2000?
11,
thereabouts.
How much of it still stands?
None of what I remembered. I remember the swamps, the trees, and the bayou, as they call it, the watery areas. And when it rained, the entire camp turned into a swamp, mucky. But it was all changed. They had drained the swamp, cut down all the trees, and it was all miles and miles of cotton fields. The only evidence that there was an internment camp there was the cemetery, and Jennifer brought her team to the cemetery to film.
And obviously the barbed wire fences were gone, but we see them in the footage from the archival footage from the internment camps. Also, armed guards are still there. How were Asians portrayed in television and movies after the war, Jennifer? Were they still stereotyped?
After the war, after World War II, yes. Yeah. In fact, it probably got pretty bad then. And George has, of course, personal memories of being very discriminated against after the war. But yes, there were, not a lot of roles to choose from if you were Asian American. It was enemy or, buffoon or servant. So not real flattering roles, either frightening or making fun of, really.
George, could your family return to their previous lives after the war?
No, we could not. The government had taken everything from us. Our bank accounts were frozen. My father used to say, they took my business, they took our home, they took our freedom.
So somebody else had the business?
Everything. We lost everything. Our first home was on Skid Row in downtown Los Angeles. And for us as kids, who really didn't understand what the internment was about, but we had the security of our parents. When we came out and we had to live in on Skid Row, that was terrifying to us. The derelicts and the crazy people and the drunkards staggering around, stench of urine everywhere, and one even collapsed in front of us and barfed right in front of us. My baby sister said, "Mama, let's go back home," meaning behind those barbed wire fences, because it was not as horrible as Skid Row.
Did the government give you any assistance?
Not then, but about 40 years later, after we campaigned for an apology and redress, President Reagan in 1988 formally apologized for that unconstitutional incarceration.
But that was it, no money.
And pledged a $20,000 redress payment. However, it was only for those that were that had survived and were alive at that time. My father, who in our family suffered the pain of the internment the most, the loss of the indignity of that, passed in 79. So he passed without ever knowing that there would be an apology. And my mother, as his widow, did not receive what he was due. She only got what she was due because she was alive then.
By the time you were cast in Star Trek, had the portrayal of Asians changed on television?
It was starting to change. Star Trek was a revolutionary show in more ways than just the depiction of Asians and Asian Americans. It was the view we use science fiction as a metaphor for issues of the time. And so we dealt with issues like the Vietnam War or the Cold War.
Or race relations that aired a controversial interracial kiss.
Absolutely.
Sexism, military intervention. But it didn't get into LGBT issues.
No, it did not, because you mentioned the first black-white kiss. That episode was literally blacked out in the American South. And we were very low rated to begin with, but that's when we hit rock bottom in the
but
ratings.
Then it took off, and of course
it's
become a great
off.
Franchise.
As a TV series, we ran.
Oh, I watch it every week.
Yes, you do. You did.
I was the guy who was watching it.
we announced at the beginning of each episode that we were on a 5-year mission. That was aborted in 3 years, not by the Klingons, but by the NBC programming executives. But it was when we were canceled and it went into syndication that we found our audience, because they had us on 5 days a week, and our ratings soared. But it was too late. The show had been canceled.
Do you think Gene Roddenberry was uncomfortable with addressing LGBT issues, or would it have been NBC?
Well, Gene, first of all, knew the reality of television. We got low ratings when we dealt with the civil rights issue. And he told me, I asked him about that.
Did people on the show know that you were gay?
My colleagues, I think, knew, but they're cool. You know, they knew that it would be damaging for my... In fact, it would destroy my career if it got out. So they knew I was gay, but they did not talk about it.
Yeah, they just, understood that from being around George.
You devote a lot of the film to George's husband, Brad. Was it important to tell his story as well?
Yeah, well, going into it, of course, I didn't know Brad, it just became apparent that Brad was a very important part of George's life. They've been together now 27 years. And they, were able to get married legally in 2008. So, but they really basically had a, 27-year marriage.
Although secret for quite a while.
Yes, but yes, he is a part of my life, and he was.
And he had to live with your desire to keep it secret.
That's right. So it was very organic. I mean, it was natural for Jennifer to include Brad as a part of my life. And that's one of the points that we wanted to make with the documentary. We wanted to show the normality of our relationship, as well as, being married to an actor. There is an element of craziness. So, it's that combination, the reality of our relationship that we wanted to show.
And Brad is a partner in a lot of the activism as well.
Exactly.
You ran for a Los Angeles City Council seat in the 1970s. You fought for reparations for former World War II internees. You continue to serve on committees and a prominent activist. Would you have liked to have gone into a career in politics?
Well, when I did run for public office, for a seat on the Los Angeles City Council, the challenge and the big problem that cropped up was the fact that I am an actor. They ran an episode of Star Trek, once I threw my hat in the ring, so to speak. And based on that, all of the other candidates running, and there were something like 17 candidates running, claimed equal time, which is not equal time, because I had whatever number of minutes, I think about 16 or 17 minutes on in that episode, where I'm mouthing words written by writers for a character, not me, but they were given equal amount of minutes.
That's outrageous.
As them speaking on issues. So it was really not fair at all.
Well, you better not run now, because people will remind the voters that you are a regular on the Howard Stern show. as an LGBT activist, do you like it when he does all those lesbian joke segments?
Well, Howard is very much a equal opportunity critic, if you will. But he is a very decent, fair-minded guy, and he was very supportive of the struggle by LGBT people for equality. And he announced that he will not get married to Beth, his girlfriend at the time, until George can marry Brad.
But you're married now.
And a few months later, Howard Stern got married to Beth.
Jennifer, you use comic book style animation in some flashback scenes. Was that the only way you could have illustrated them?
It was, I think, more of a stylistic choice, just to include animation. It's a very theatrical film. It is a documentary, but it's theatrical. It's also a romantic comedy. And so we felt that... that style of animation would be really lively and fun and bring the right tone to it.
It is a film, and you want to visualize it. You know, I talked through it, but just my words won't really create that reality. And I thought it was a charming idea.
You've also helped create and now act in a new musical called Allegiance about a family in an internment camp. Will that be coming to Broadway or to New York?
Yes, indeed. It will be coming to Broadway. We've been in line for a theater vacancy for a year and a half now. And as soon as we get that theater, we will open. We were hoping that the documentary ends with our Broadway opening, but it's been taking a little bit longer than we expected. So you get the San Diego performance and opening and closing in the documentary, but not the Broadway opening.
But meanwhile, Jennifer, George has 7 million followers on Facebook. I'm sure you're hoping that all of them will come out to see the film.
They will. They will indeed. 7.3 million, as a matter of fact.
I think it's
but who's counting?
I am.
Yeah, 7.5 million now. But yes, and of course, your listeners would be great too to add to that.
I have a few listeners.
Yes, indeed, you have. That's why we're here.
My great thanks to both of you for being on our show, George Takei and Jennifer Crute. The film To Be Takei opens at the AMC Lowe's Village 7 on August 22nd. That's a week from this Friday. It also will be available on all the video on demand platforms. And it's been fun talking to both of you.
Well, thank you very much. We've enjoyed it.
Yes, thank you so much for including us.